The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Three times in chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians, Paul just could not hold back. He said, to the praise of the glory of God in verse 6, and then he says the same thing in verse 12, the praise of his glory, and then in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. The first time he was talking about the Father and what God the Father had done. In the second time, he says to the praise of his glory, it's about the redemption that Jesus Christ brought to us. The third time, he said to the praise of his glory, it was because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and he was praising God for who he was. Well, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we hope that this program brings you to the praise of the glory of God. We want him to be seen, observed in every way. Well, Alex, again, the book of Ephesians, you can't help but see the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ. And Paul, I don't think he holds back anything about how great God is in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ephesians.
Amen. Well, Bert, it's great to be with you. Great to be with everybody as we are in Ephesians chapter 1. We invite you to turn there. You know, in verses 4, really through 14, I'm going to say 3 through 14, you're right. He does, go very emphatic about the praise of the glory of God. But here's the thing. There is this eternal planning and purpose for the life of every Christian. And we could look at all these, especially in like 4, he has chosen us. Verse 5, predestined us to the praise of his glory and our redemption. He has abounded to us, verse 8, in all wisdom and prudence. So we've got purpose, we've got equipping, and then it's according to the counsel of his will, verse 11. Now, here's my point. If you look at the fact that as a Christian, we've been chosen, predestined, purposed, God counseled over our life and our salvation and our bearing fruit. All these things are according to his internal, eternal counsel and will. Here's my point, Bert. If God has an eternal purpose for each and every Christian, don't you think he cares about our day-to-day life? I know in this world especially, I just bought some $5 gas yesterday, kind of most expensive tank of gas I think I ever bought. And for a moment, I was thinking, goodness gracious, the prices. But then I thought, God is my provider, and the Lord has a purpose. Here's my point. If he's got an eternal purpose, then I guarantee he also cares about our day-to-day survival, our life. He carries us along because we are his adopted children.
Amen, Alex. Good point. And the Bible proves that the manna was supplied day by day. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
God is that God that provides. He really is. That's what Abraham found out when he was offering up Isaac. The Lord will provide, and he did. And so we trust him. And at the end of the day, even at the beginning of the day, but at the end of the day, it's proven. In the beginning of the day, we say, God, you're a provider for today. At the end of the day, we say, God, thank you for providing. So it's anticipation, it's hope, but then it is praise. And so here in Ephesians chapter 1, yesterday we got through verse 9, and it's kind of in the middle of verses 7 and 12. When notice what it says in verse 7. I think the rest of it, all the way through verse 12, hinges on verse 7 when it says, we have redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood. And then it begins to unwrap all those things that we have in him, the riches of his grace, the forgiveness of sin, and he's made known to us the things that are in Christ. And then when you come to verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, in other words, he said, the redemption does not stop. It continues even in the dispensation in the future, Alex. So our eternal life that we have, the fullness of Christ, our redemption, is good for today, but it's also good for the future, isn't it?
It is. Amen. It is eternal. And, you know, in the dispensation, the way that word is used here, it really means the plan. You know, we've often talked about this. It's an ordering. It's an economy. In fact, it's the Greek word economy or structure. But the plan, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Bert, have you ever noticed how often God's word talks about the fullness of things?
It is. Yeah. The fullness of time. Something really happened important in the fullness of time, did it not?
Amen. In the fullness of time, the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of blessing, the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of God's plan. You know, that fullness speaks to completion and perfection, uninhibited perfection of God's plan. And let me just say that there are many, crossroads in the life of a believer where the fullness of time is manifested. Maybe you've prayed for something and a door opens, and God, in his timing, has answered your prayers. And I've found that not only does God answer the prayers in his timing, that he answers them better than I could have even prayed them.
Amen.
So we serve a God of fullness, don't we?
We really do. And verse 11, and I'm skipping to the middle of it, to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Those two things, notice what's in there, purpose and his will. Now, Alex, as a teenager, in the church that I had on Sunday nights, we did an extensive study on the will of God for our lives. That was a great study for teenagers because some of us were juniors and seniors in high school, and we were looking, okay, what am I going to do after I graduate? And we talked about his will. Later on, I found out purpose and his will. Not that you separate them, but that you do put them together. His purpose is first for everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. After you're saved, he has a purpose for your life, and that is to know him and glorify him. Now, how in the world does this purpose work out? It works out through his specific will for your life, to follow him, to seek him first in his kingdom. So, I struggle for so long. Okay, am I in the will of God? Am I in the will of God? Well, if I had only known in those early years, okay, God's purpose for Bert Harper is to bring him glory, where he is, what he's done, and then as he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, as he reveals his will for us one step at a time, the word of God is a lamp under our feet. It is a light under our path. And that lamp only shines. It doesn't shine down the road 10 years from now, but it shines right there in ahead of you so that you might have to make a turn. You might have to go back. But God's purpose, Alex, it really did set me with the freedom, I would say, to, okay, keep from work. Bert, don't just go on and on about, okay, a man will of God, a man will of God, what am I doing? No, my purpose is to glorify him where I am. He'll direct our paths, won't he?
He really will. He really will. I've mentioned this before. There's a very wonderful book, came out a few years ago, InterVarsity Press, IVP, Gary Friesen, and it was called Decision Making and the Will of God. And Friesen, this is a good illustration, it's worth repeating, but he says, imagine there's a letter W, and it's a big wide W, and as long as you're inside the boundaries of the letter W, God's will, you're okay. And the primary will is to grow in Christ likeness and bring glory to God, to, as the Catechism says, glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so Friesen, his thesis in this book, and I actually got this book 25 years ago from a dear friend named Frank Turek, an amazing man of God. And Turek, many people know who Frank is. He's a dear friend. As long as you're walking with the Lord, you're growing in the Lord, you're glorifying Christ to the best of your knowledge, there's no overt, willful, unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe you live in this city, maybe you live in that city. Either one, you're, quote, in the will of God. Now, Bert, I do think there's times when God specifically calls people somewhere, like Paul got the Macedonian call. I've known pastor friends that absolutely God called them to a field of service or a church or, you know. But when you're walking with the Lord, and one of several options could be good, if you're a Christ-like, obedient follower, and you're being true to the Lord, true to your spouse and family, that's the building block of being in the will of God, isn't it?
It really is, and you can trust Him. He'll direct you. He really will. The Holy Spirit's making intercession for us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is seated at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case. He's our advocate with the Father. And so through those things, I do believe He directs our paths and we can follow Him. Again, what did Paul do before that Macedonian call? Well, God had called him out on this second missionary journey. Now, this time it wasn't with Barnabas, it was with Silas. And he was making his way all the way through Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and he was going city by city. It doesn't look like he got to one city and said, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go now? It looked like he got the map out and just went on to a city, you know, real, you know, at a distance, and then he'd go to the other. But when God intervened at the Macedonia call, you remember what that man said? Come over here. It was a direct quote. It was a direct opposite of where he was going. But guess what he wanted to do during this period of time of redirection? I want to follow the Lord.
Amen.
I believe he will. A willing heart, I believe we will seek him and follow him, Alex.
Amen. And I truly believe that if you're sincerely pursuing the leading of God, the presence of God, that you'll hear from God. He will give you the direction. One of the key things, I know we've got to move on, but it's daily, consistently. That's why, you know, when I was at a church to preach over the weekend, I saw out in the lobby was a big box of Our Daily Bread. And that's just a small little devotional every day of the month. It's just one little page. But folks, keep your walk with God consistent. Have a time where you get alone with God. Even if it's just 5 minutes maybe before you rush into your day, pray, commit the day to God in prayer. Spend some time in a portion of Scripture. And Bert, I really think, like any relationship, like any friendship, one of the keys is consistency, isn't it?
It is. Day by day, step by step, we stay with God. Listen, keep it between the ditches. Half of it's going in the right direction, Alex. And He'll set us and He'll guide us, and we can trust Him. We're going to get back, and we're going to talk about sealed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, how can you know? You can know through the power of God.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland and Bert Harper, and we're so honored that you're all listening, and we're in Ephesians chapter 1. So much to savor and ruminate over the goodness of God, and He loves you, and He knows the minutia of your life, and back in Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 7, we've often talked about how God knows that you're in the journey. He knows where you are in the journey. He knows what you need, and He knows where to lead you. And that was true for Israel, certainly true for us as well. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Paul had trusted Christ before the Ephesians had, but in verses 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. So you've got to hear the gospel, then you receive it, you trust in it, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, the earnest money, that indwelling Holy Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Bert, I've often made the comparison, like verse 14, the closing on a house or something. There's the earnest, the down payment, and the redemption of the purchased possession. That's like the closing date. But when you're under contract, you're not going to walk away because you're legally bound. Salvation, I know it's a relationship with Jesus, but one of the things in which we take great comfort and assurance is it is a contract, or to be biblically precise, it's a covenant. Salvation is a covenant. Bert, I think hundreds of times at church altars, people have come forward and they'll say, this or that happened, am I still saved? And it's always a joy to pray with people so they get assurance of their salvation. But here's the thing, when you put your faith in Jesus, you are born again, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's a covenant. And we might stumble and fall, but God keeps His covenant, His promises, doesn't He?
He really does. Not one word has been taken away, every jot and tittle. And that's what brings me to verse 13, the word of what? Truth. What we've been reading here in Ephesians and what we will read after that is truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It is truth. And that is being distorted so much in our day. And that's why you want a sure word, not a maybe, not a also, but a sure word. And the Bible is the sure word of God. There's been people that ask me, Bert, how do you know? Why is it so real? And yeah, I have my feelings, but everybody can have the feelings. I know who saved me, and I know that. But based upon the Word of God, especially the Old Testament and all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and the completion of them in the New Testament, it really does bring you to the point, man, we can trust. So here it is. You trust the truth. You do not trust untruth. You do not trust falsehoods, but you trust the truth. And so here Paul brings them all the way up, that we're chosen by the Father, we are redeemed by the Son, and here we're sealed by the Spirit. Alex, chosen, redeemed, sealed. When you concentrate on that, and when you let your mind get a hold that God chose us, that Jesus redeemed, and on the cross He'd say, it is finished, paid in full. I've done the will of my Father. And here, we're the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit sealing us into the day of our complete redemption, our deliverance into His presence. Amen. Alex, this is, then you move to verse 14. This is the guarantee of our inheritance. In other words, job started, job continued, job completed. We are in Christ.
You know, Bert, this is probably not a great illustration, but, traveling, I've met a lot of people that were working on an MBA. you know, working on a business degree. And I've heard a number of people over the years, they'll say, oh, I'm so excited. You know, I've worked all sorts of odd jobs, you know, scraping along here and there, but I landed a job with a Fortune 500 company. And I understand what they're saying, especially, you know, when people are very goal-driven to get that big job with a big reputable company. I mean, it feels very validating, and I understand that. Here's the thing about being the possession of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:14 that you, if you're a believer, you are His purchased possession with the blood of Jesus. I mean, God wanted you, and He purchased you with. I mean, when somebody makes the choice to buy or purchase something, that's very important. They didn't have to. It was the decision they made. And folks, a Fortune 500 company, that might seem like security or, you know, stability. What could be more stable? What could be better? What could be more ironclad than to be in covenant relationship with Almighty God, who is truth, T-R-U-T-H. And so, you know, that's just the greatest reassurance in we could ever experience, that we're in relationship with God. Verse 15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, now listen to this, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or opened, or really illuminated, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. We'll pick up at verse 20 here in just a little bit. But, you know, everything Paul says, he's praying for them, he's rejoicing in them, and then he's asking God that they would have these blessings, wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him, understanding, enlightenment, hope, the riches of His inheritance in glory, the exceeding greatness of His power. Bert, talk about a benefits package. I mean, to be a believer, that's your true standing, folks. That's your true identity. Oswald Chambers, his writings became My Utmost for His Highest, great devotional book. It was published posthumously, so it was put together after he died. But he said, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we should, secret of joy and happiness for the Christian, Oswald Chambers said, vigilantly believe what is true. What is true? You belong to Christ, and in Him you have everything.
And what you have, what verses 15 through 23 is based upon, all these benefits, is what you found, and we read in verses 3 through 12, or 14, excuse me, about who He is, what He has done for us. In other words, first, we start with who He is. He is God. There is no other. And then who we are. We're the redeemed of the Lord, whom He has given what? Great riches to. Now, these riches has been given to us, and we've talked about that. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have what is needed in our lives to do what? To receive all that God has for us. And that's what He talks about. It says, I pray for you continually that you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. You see that list. Here it is. He's given us what we need to live in this godless world, even in 2026, with $5 gas a gallon, okay? He's given us what we need when we don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we know who holds tomorrow in His hand. So notice these words, and you've read them already. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, knowing. Listen, he's given us. And I want to close out on verse 9. There's so much here. We could stay here, as you said earlier. We could. But look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, listen to this. I know you said us, we're not the New King James, and I think it does make it a little bit more poignant. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Alex, his power toward us, his desire for us. Those of us that are saved, and you're listening on the radio, listen, we have the riches of Christ in us, indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God in us to do the work that God expects from us. Alex, do we wait on anything, or do we use what we have?
We use what we have now. And there are, you know, as Bill Bright would say, there are continued fillings of the Holy Spirit. But we, today is the day. You know, say not 4 months and the harvest. Even now the fields are white under harvest. Bert, in verse 20, Bill Wright, if we move to verse 20.
Yeah, go ahead. We can finish chapter 1 today if we do this. Go ahead.
Indeed. There are all these blessings, understanding, enlightenment, wisdom. Now, I want to camp out on verse 20 for a minute, but I want to say one of the great blessings of being a Christian, sure, go into heaven when we die. Go to heaven, not hell. I mean, that's obviously a huge, huge part of it. But one of the reasons that I'm thankful to be a born-again Bible believer is to know what's going on, you know? I mean, Bert, I got to tell you, it's a pretty wild world these days, but yet we have peace. Look, we know what's going on. We know evil men will wax worse and worse. We know Satan is busy because he knows his time is short. But when it talks about truth, enlightenment, the eyes of our understanding are opened, we have, you know, the mind of Christ and the news of the world. One of the great blessings of knowing the Lord is because he has disclosed to us where we are in history and what's going on. Now, all these blessings, verse 20, which God the Father, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, the word wrought, I looked up that word. The root of it in Greek is energetically. Think about this, which God the Father energetically accomplished when he rose Jesus from the dead. Now, I want to talk about how much God loves each of you. You say, okay, why did God the Father resurrect the Son from the tomb? You might say, well, because Jesus was righteous, and after suffering all those beatings and false accusations and the atonement, and so Christ laid down his life and God resurrected him. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But according to Ephesians 1:20, he wrought all of these blessings to us in Jesus by raising him from the dead, set him on the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Now here's the thing. Part of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, yes, to pay for the sins of the world. Yes, God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, as the Psalm says, but to give you all the blessings of sonship. Bert, doesn't it humble your heart to think about what Jesus went through to bestow on us the blessings of sonship? All this was wrought in Christ for us. And God raised him from the dead. It's hard to get our mind around how much the Father loves us.
He loves us more than even we could even dream or think. He loved us so much that Father gave his Son. His Son surrendered to the will of the Father. I mean, this is beyond description of love. And Alex, right hand, that's his position, a place of honor, a place of intercession. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about he sat at the right hand of the Father. That means he had a work that he had completed, the work of redemption. But now at the right hand of the Father, he does even more work. The work that he does right now, intercession for us, but he's also seated waiting for a completed work of him coming again. So seated at the right hand of the Father, it has so much power in it. He's there now, and we can expect him one day to come back and receive us unto himself. Now, again, notice verse 21, 22, and 23. I'm going to read these together. So he raised him up at the right hand in heavenly Father places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Alex, far above anything that you could even name, that is who God is. Far above. How do you like those words, far above?
Not I
just,
like it.
Not just a little bit, but far above.
Superlative, isn't it?
It is.
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet.
Hallelujah.
And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, verse 23, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills everything in every way. That is King Jesus.
Hallelujah. What a Savior. It is none other but him. Today's the day of prayer. If you've got a prayer request, we would love to pray with you and get others all across America to pray with you as well. That number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We want to pray with you today. Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time, and in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network Clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying.
Amen. This is the day of prayer, so we're coming to you, and we're not going to waste any time. So Alex, do we have any callers?
How about we go to Arkansas? Jennifer in Arkansas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome. You're on.
Hi, yes, I'm Jennifer from Arkansas, and yeah. I enjoy listening to y'all. I try to listen every day, and then if I don't, I listen on the online. But I called today with a prayer request. My daughter, Danielle, who's 32, has migraines from time to time. And right now she's had one for about 2.5 weeks. And she had an MRI, and there's nothing wrong, no tumors or anything. But they're still trying to figure out how to help her. And I just appreciate it if y'all pray.
Wow. A migraine for 2 weeks plus. I am so sorry. Yes. We will definitely pray. Bert, that's very serious sounding, isn't it?
It really is, and they can't find a reason for it. And a lot of times I've understood, I've known several folks, so we're going to be praying for Danielle. Those mm-hmm. of you that are prayer warriors and keeps a prayer list, I pray for Jennifer's daughter, Danielle.
Amen. Louisiana, John in Louisiana, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I have some comments and questions about chapter 1, verse 4, chosen before the foundation of the world. So I understand in chapter 1 that there's a role of the Father in our salvation. There's a role of Jesus Christ to redeem us, and also in the third part, the role of the Holy Spirit. So my question today is about the role of the Father to choose us, and which is called election. And when this is mentioned, even the word, in about a number of Baptist churches, I would say many, then you're accused of being a Calvinist, and they are putting you one side. But we see the thing that God chooses, the truth that God chooses, in Romans 11, verse 5, and if by grace there is no longer by works, there's a remnant chosen by grace, verse 5, 11, 5. And in John 17, the word chosen, as far as people are concerned, is used four times. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we thank God because from the beginning he chose you to be saved. And other verses also. So John Bunyan also, in the 1600s, this guy that was just a repair person, he put he had this sign that the entrance to heaven, whosoever will may come. Then when you go on the other side, you see the same sign on the other side. It says, chosen before the foundation of the world. So here's a simple tinker, repair person, believing in election. So this is a very important thing. And 1 Peter 1, verse 2 is the same thing about God chose you to be saved.
Mm. Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Let me jump in here for a minute. Bert, you can chime in. I appreciate it, and clearly you are very well read on this. You know, that illustration Norm Geisler uses in his very excellent book, Chosen But Free. And that's published by Bethany House. In fact, I think it's probably about the best treatment of the question, how do we reconcile the sovereignty of God, but yet the responsibility of man? And there's a big sign over the door of heaven, says Geisler, whosoever will may come. And then you walk through the door and you look back and it said, chosen before the foundation of the world. Let me just say this. There's a couple of extremes here, both of which I don't think do full justice to the Bible. For one, there's a thing called hard determinism, that everything is predetermined and there's no free will. But we don't allow that God would be the author of sin. You know, murders and sin and evil and wickedness, God would never will that. And then there's just complete autonomy, or what's sometimes called libertarian free will, that man is completely free. Bert, there's a balance. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws them. And no one can open their heart to Christ or even understand the gospel except by the grace of God wooing them. Now, we still have to trust and make that decision. We accept, not reject. But Bert, they're both in there, and I don't think it is a necessary contradiction. But God has sovereignly decreed that whosoever will may come. The ball's in our court. We respond to that overture, don't we?
We really do. If God predetermined, you know, that we would go to hell, a person go to hell, when we stood before God, we could say, God, it was your fault.
Yeah, I had no recourse.
I had no recourse. That's not what you hear in the Bible when it says whosoever will may come. So, yes, it's a deep study. And, Alex, let just me say this. I don't understand it, but I know they work together for God's glory and for our good.
Amen. Amen. Well said. We could talk about this. I certainly don't completely understand it. But when I was 21 and I was in that Monday night Bible study at Macedonia Baptist, I knew I needed to call out to Christ and be saved.
Hallelujah.
You know? Let's go to Susan. Susan, are you in California?
I am.
Thank you for holding and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Wow, thank you so much. You know what? I love your program. And I'm not like what you think of people from California. I do know the Lord.
God bless. Listen, there are lots and lots of believers in California.
We
bless you,
dear one.
We're
glad you're one of them, Susan. We are. Praise the Lord. Thank you for calling.
You know what? Maybe I don't sound Southern, but I feel like I have more in common with all of you. So I do want to ask you, my husband has been going through many months, actually, of trying to find out what kind of cancer he has. He has a very rare and unusual cancer that this doctor has never seen. It's a sarcoma. That's what they call it. But he's never seen his type. Which is really wild, but it's been hard and it's a slow growing cancer, but he's probably had it a long time. We're both 74 and the doctor is treating him. He just started his chemotherapy and it's been pretty, he's been tolerating it pretty well, but I do know from what the doctor says that it will get harder, and there's only so many treatments he can have because it hurts. It hurts your heart, actually. But I just wanted to ask you to pray for him and for me that it is it's stressful, you know.
Susan,
it's going to be hard, I'm sure.
Can you share your husband's name, first name?
His name is Doug.
Doug. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Alex. Yeah. I just wanted to get that in.
Why don't you pray, and also for, was it Danielle?
Danielle.
For these two health-related prayer requests, Bert, would you pray?
I will. Father, I thank you that as followers of you through Jesus Christ, we have access. And Father, we're coming to you boldly because of what Jesus has done, not because of what we've done. But Father, and we're asking for Doug. It sounds like he's had it a long time. I pray, God, that you would extend his life, however you would do that in your will, by curing or by that slow growth not being the thing that would even take him out. And we realize that, God, you've done it before, and we ask you to be with Susan as she is his caregiver. One of the programs, Father, and I pray for Peter that, hope for the caregiver. And, Father, what a program that is here on AFR, that those that are giving care to those that are hurting because of whatever the issue, that you'd give them strength. And we're praying that for Susan. We're praying for Danielle, Jennifer's daughter. God, with that migraine, I pray right now where she is that there'd be some relief to that migraine. We're trusting you, asking you to do it, and believing you're going to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bert. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jacqueline in Mississippi. Jacqueline, are you there?
Praise the Lord. I just got emotional because I was also going to be on that list for prayer. But I just interceded with you all, and I just want to say thank you. I won't ask you to pray again because the Holy Spirit answered my prayer. I'm a caregiver as well for 32 years. I take care of a 98-year-old war veteran. He has just been told that his heart was only functioning at 70%, and I was calling in for prayer for him. But again, that prayer that you just prayed, God answered it. There's another young lady, I'm a mother of my church, and she called this morning and said that the baby they found a tumor in the baby's head, and the doctors, I would ask them for prayer to be able to know, give them wisdom to know how to go in to for that baby. But Bird and Alan, I do call quite a bit because of you all, I'm able every morning to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and use what God gives you all to give me to give to others. And I just want to say thank you. But these are not tears of sadness. These are tears of joy that what God mm-hmm. can do. And I am declaring and decreeing in the name of Jesus that everyone that hears my voice know that God is able and he is who we need to trust and believe in and obey.
Amen.
Amen.
Jacqueline, bless you. Amen. Oh, my goodness. You encourage my heart so much.
Amen. Real quickly, Brent, look this up. What's Peter's hope for the caregiver, his last name? Could you look that up for us? There is a show, and it comes on Saturday morning, but Peter also has—
It's Peter Rosenberger.
Rosenberger. Yes. I thought so. Listen, we interviewed him on Exploring Missions. But those of you that are caregivers, tune in to hear him. Man, I'm telling you what, it is a ministry. And Jacqueline, those that are caregivers, we thank God for you guys.
Bert, when he first launched his show on American Family Radio, this is probably about 3 years ago, it was my joy to interview him twice because we were trying to, you know, promote Peter Rosenberger, fantastic man of God, hope for the caregiver. And hey, that encouragement, Jacqueline, thank you so much. That was very, very kind. We give God the glory. Let's go to Kansas, where I just was about 3 weeks ago. Ben in Kansas, are you there?
Yep.
Welcome.
Yeah, this is first time caller here. I was just wanting to know if you hear all these people worrying about taking the mark of the beast, but I understand if you're a born-again Christian, we won't have to worry about that, will we?
Amen. Yeah. Hey, we've already been marked, okay? We've been marked, hadn't we, Alex?
Amen. You know, I give God the glory. Bert and I did a book just several months ago on 100 Bible questions on prophecy and the end times. If you're watching online, it's over my right shoulder on the bookcase here, our prophecy book, and it's available all across the nation. In Revelation 13, it talks about, and we write about this in the book, those who cannot buy or sell or basically conduct their life. This is during the tribulation period, unless they have taken the mark of the beast. Now, will it be some tattoo that's visible under ultraviolet light or a chip under the skin? I don't know. But, Bert, I do not think a born-again believer could accidentally, unknowingly take the mark of the beast. Do you?
I agree with you fully, completely. And I was trying to be a little funny. That's the key word, try. But we have been marked. We have,
Amen.
God has put his brand on us. We're children of the King. We do not go the way of Antichrist or the beast. We stay with God no matter when or what. If I'm wrong and we're in that period of time, guess what, Alex? We're still his children. Amen?
Amen. We have the inside and the outside mark. I mean, yes, we're his. We're bought, but we're indwelt and sealed with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you, Ben. Going to try to get in a call from Tennessee. Ethan from Tennessee. Forgive me, but go quickly if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to give a praise report, and I apologize if I'm trying to pick my kids up right now, but I wanted to be able to tell everybody thank you for all the prayers for my mom going through cancer. She has completed 8 or 9 different chemo treatments, and her body responded really well, and she went through the surgery, and the doctor said she's been doing it for probably 10 years, and she might have 5 instances where a body has responded that well to the treatment. And she said basically when she went in to remove any cancer, it had melted away, and all she did was remove scar tissue. And all you can say is it's a miracle from God.
Hallelujah.
Because it was an ovarian-type cancer that spread through the body, and she's wanting her to do a few more treatments to get rid of anything that might have been missed microscopically. But I wanted to thank everybody for the prayers, and we sure do appreciate it, and keep them coming.
Amen.
God is good.
I love that. I love the sound of children being picked up in that car, Alex. I just had to say that too.
Hey, listen, folks, if you have little ones in the background making noise, you call in. That's the sound of angels right there.
Amen, it is. Alex, It's been great, and we praise God for that great report from Ethan. And we love those praise reports. Listen, we're going to continue in Ephesians tomorrow, chapter 2. It doesn't let up, so stay with us, and we'll see you tomorrow on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.